This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Brukhim Abba, welcome everyone. Thank you everyone for coming to our Wednesday night shir, Parshas Korach. So, Zoom and Korach. Just like Korach zoomed into the ground, so we're going to learn about Hilchos Zoom. So what do I mean we're going to learn about Hilchos Zoom? This is really the fourth shir in the subject, we're calling it Torah's Corona, halachic dilemmas that came up during the COVID epidemic, or pandemic, they call it. And one very interesting question that many people asked is that, of course, you know, especially Pesach time, we like to have our siddurim with extended family, with multi-generational. We like to have grandparents, parents with us. And many, for the first time, had to have a Seder by themselves. Many young families conducted a Seder for the first time on their own. Many parents, for the first time, had a Seder without their kids there. Many grandparents were isolated. Many older people, what are older people? Nobody here, of course, is older. Older people are people like over 110, you know? But many older people were isolated. And the question was, perhaps, under the circumstances, there could be an allowance, so we flip on the computer before Yom Tov, and maybe we could conduct the Seder via Zoom or Samach Kuf Yud Yud Pei. You know what that is in Hebrew? Skype, right? That's also another option. Or Zayin Vav Mem. Zayin Vav Mem is Zoom with a Shuruk. Yeah, those were the two options. And in fact, Rav Asher Weiss, in his Kuntris on Minchas Asher, Leket Shiurim Atshuvos, regarding the Magefa of Corona, he says that many Choshev Rabbanim actually allowed. They gave a heter to use Skype and Zoom to be able, obviously, there's a great Tzorech. You know, you can make the case that an old person all by themselves, it's somewhat of a Chayla, somebody who doesn't have company. It's even very much affects a person's health. A person certainly needs interaction, human interaction, and under the circumstances, perhaps it is permitted to use Zoom. Obviously, you're going to turn on the computer before Shabbos, but maybe could we even turn on the computer on Shabbos? And this gets involved in a very interesting question.
Why did it come out this night? It should have come out before Pesach, so I could have been prepared. I could have done it.
The answer is Rav Asher Weiss came out with it, but I didn't have it, so I'm doing it now, you know? Or we got it to Labincha, right? That would be perhaps a kiyah. L'chayr, it doesn't say we got to Labincha that they have to physically be there. You have to tell them. However, you could tell them, you know. So would this be a kiyah of he got it to Labincha? Yeah. Okay. So Rav Asher Weiss says a number of rabbonim allowed the use of Zoom on Yom Tov, and he says, in my humble opinion, there's a chash chilo Shabbos and Chilo Yom Tov Midai Raisa. Now, where do these Rabbanim come from? How do they allow the Zoom? They relied on two factors. Number one, many of the Chashev HaPoiskim, of the Eidos HaMizrach, maybe of the Sephardic category, they were of the opinion that there's no Isser to use electricity on Yom Tov. In fact, the Aruch HaShulchan wrote, you're allowed to use electricity on Yom Tov.
He wasn't a Sephardi. He's Hungarian.
True. He wasn't Hungarian.
That's what?
No. He lived in... No. Epstein. Epstein, I think, maybe from Russian. The Benavista family, originally actually Spanish, if you're interested. But if you look in the Tartamima's autobiography, but the Aruch HaShulchan was... But be it as it may, the Aruch HaShulchan wrote in a kuntris called Koivitz Beis Vad L'Chachamim that was now published in Shalos HaTshuvos, Aruch HaShulchan, that they were of the opinion that electricity was permitted to use on Yom Tov, because in their view, the way electricity works is that the same way on Yom Tov, you're allowed to light one fire from another, right? Letzorach Yom Tov, if somebody needs to cook, or if somebody needs to get a hold of a fire, We're not going to talk about that, but somebody needs a fire, they could light one candle from another. To generate a fire initially is not even an Isser D'oraisa on Yom Tov, it's only Moilid. Right, by the way, it's interesting, Shaila. Let's say a person forgot to turn on his fire for Yom Tov. Could you get a goy to turn on your gas range on Yom Tov? So the halacha is on Shabbos, you cannot ask a goy. Why can't you ask a goy? Because there's something called Amir Lakum. You can't tell a goy to do a Melacha D'oraisa for you. But turning on a fire on Yom Tov is not a Melacha D'oraisa. It's a Tzarach Yom Tov. It's Hutra. Elamai, turning on a fire is only an Isser D'rabbanon of Moilid. So Amir La'akum, on a D'rabbanon, B'makom Tzarach or Makom Mitzvah is Mutra on Yom Tov. So Shabbos, if let's say your dining room lights are off on Shabbos, you may not tell a goy to turn it on. And if a goy comes in and turns it on, you have to leave the room. You can't get benefit from it. But on Yom Tov, you could ask a goy to turn on a fire or turn on the light, because turning on a fire is only D'rabbanan. Many poiskim up. It's not Bishalakim. You're putting the food on the fire. It's certain. The fact, it's a kula that we sometimes allow a Jew to turn on the fire, and we say that's also considered cooking, even though the goy is doing the cooking. But doing the cooking is the real cooking, not turning on the fire. So many poskim held using turning on electricity is permitted, because in their view, the way they understood electricity when it first came out, is they somehow imagined that there was some kind of latent fire in the wires, and when you're turning it on, you're just transferring it from one area to another, like transferring one fire to another, and that's what the Aruch HaShulchan himself wrote. However, that's number one. And number two, says Rav Asher Weiss, aside from the fact that there are poskim that said that electricity is permitted, but even if you're going to say that turning on electrical appliances is usser, maybe it's only usser to turn it on. But so fine, I'll turn on the Zoom before Yom Tov, and it's going on Yom Tov. In other words, even if you want to say that it's prohibited to turn on an electrical appliance, here are some sheets, on Yom Tov, but if it's on already, why can't you use it? Well, what would be wrong with going in front of an already a Zoom that's already going and start and talking into it? I'm not, you know, what am I doing wrong? I'm just talking to a guy, Sruli Markowitz, how you doing? Am I doing a malacha by talking to you? No, you're watching on Zoom. I'm talking to you on Zoom. I don't even know if we met before, right? So they were of the opinion that there's no isser to utilize an electrical appliance that already was on from before Yom Tov. These were the two hatayim of many chashav rabbanim. Again, number one, that perhaps there's no isser to use electricity on Yom Tov, and number two, certainly if it's on already, you can make use of it. However, says Rav Asher Weiss, on both accounts, they were dead wrong. Number one, we do not paskin you're allowed to use an electrical appliance on Yom Tov. We do not paskin you're allowed to turn on an electrical appliance on Yom Tov. The Aruch HaShulchan said you're allowed to. The Aruch HaShulchan himself says, it could be ein mamish bedvarai. It could be that what I'm saying is not correct. Mishum sheino baki b'inyan hachashmal. I don't really understand how electricity works. But now we understand there's no latent fire hiding in the wire that you're merely bringing from one place to another. When you turn on a switch, you're creating a circuit. It might be binyan according to the Chazon Ish. It might be moilid. It might even be eish. In other words, it could be there's a certain element of heat that is generated by completing an electric circuit. And therefore, we paskin, you cannot turn on an electrical appliance on Yom Tov. It is not like the Aruch HaShulchan says that it's mutter. It's not. It might even be, possibly, could be the D'oraisa. Now, in general, you should know, we maintain that electricity is D'rabbanan. We don't really say it's binyan. And we don't really say it's ish, because it's not really hot inside. But it's some kind of moilid, or some kind of perhaps binyan D'rabbanan. And that's a separate subject, that's a separate topic. If you want to hear about that, you could go to an old Vayakel Shir where we spoke about what is the Isser of electricity. But at the very least, it's an Isser D'rabbanan. But what?
Okay, utilizing it if you turn it on before Yom Tov?
So what about if you turned it on before Yom Tov? Says Rav Asher Weiss, it is still absolutely prohibited, and it could be even an Isser D'oraisa to utilize a Zoom, to go to a Zoom and to talk to somebody on the Zoom on Yom Tov. Why? Because every movement you make, every decibel you raise your voice, every inflection you make with your voice, you're changing the circuitry and the operating system of the electronic appliance. The sound waves are converted to electrical impulses. That is a direct cause through your action, even though maybe you'll say it's a grumma, but this is not a grumma. It's meant to do this. It's orchestrated and it's made to respond to your voice, to respond to your movement, to go in front of the Zoom and to talk to someone in it, says Rav Asher Weiss. It is chshash malach d'oraisa. That's why no God-fearing person talks on a telephone on Shabbos. No God-fearing person talks on a microphone on Shabbos.
The same issue when you walk in front of any camera. And it looks somewhere where there's security. You can make it here and then
So how could you walk in front of a video camera on Shabbos? So a few things. First of all, if you don't know it's there, so it's lo yasek adaite, you're not even aware it's there.
You have one in your ass.
But if you know it's there, so if you know the camera's there, you don't want it to take a picture of you. You don't want it to be working. You're not... After Shabbos, you're not going to put a popcorn in the microwave and eat microwave popcorn and watch this really great show of you walking into your house. You don't care that you're being videoed on your camera. So it's what is called loy nichale. It's psik resha, right?
Not loy nichale.
You can't do that. It's better to, I do.
There was a big shy.
You know, unless you need, if you need it for security, it's a little bit of a different shayla. Again, let's talk about the difference here. The person who sets up the camera, so what's the person who sets up the camera doing? He's not doing anything. He set it up Erev Shabbos. So he didn't do anything. He didn't do any malacha. The person who it's videoing doesn't want to be videoed. He doesn't want his voice to be heard. He doesn't want his image to be captured. So for him, it's loy nichalei mamish. But in the case of the Zoom, I want Eli Sackweil to hear what I'm saying on the shir. That's why I'm telling it. That's why I'm talking into it. I want to use it, so I'm using it. I want my sound waves to be converted to electrical impulses to be converted back to sound waves. I want my image to appear. So I'm utilizing electricity. So the person who utilizes the microphone, who utilizes the Zoom, who utilizes the telephone wants to use that technology. Then the camera case, the guy who set up the camera is not doing anything, and the guy who's being videoed doesn't want it. So you'll say, but it's still psik resha deloy nichale, you know? But it could be with the camera also. It's you're not conscious of it. You're not aware of it. And it might even be loy osik adaite. But there are poiskim who say that if you know there's a camera, you shouldn't walk in front of it. I remember in my old building in Queens, the Talmidim of Herschel Schachter would not walk in through the front door. They would go in through the side door. I don't know if they knew that there was a camera on the side door also, but... There are poiskim who say you cannot, if you know there's a camera, you cannot walk in front of it. Now, bizman is, I don't know how to avoid it. Every corner has a camera. Every home has a camera. Many cars have a camera. Obama has a camera watching wherever you go. So
they have the shine in the old city because of all the security.
Well, cameras. Right. What about the camera at the hotel? You know. Can you go to the? Can you keep the camera on? Can you walk there?
Yeah.
So there might be a heter of safety of the rabbim. Safety of the rabbim is a valid heter. But here it is, it's my house, there's no tzvar of rabbim. So like this, if a person... There seems to be machlokes between Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan and Mishnah Berurah. Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan has a kula. The bottom line is, if somebody needs it for security, it could be yesh mi lismaich. But to use the Zoom, to purposely, intentionally go to the Zoom and say, hi everyone, ma nishtana halai lazeh. So you projecting your voice, you want to utilize the technology. Rav Ashawai says it's aser. And besides that, he says, that whenever you open up doors and you allow leniencies in the area of technology, it's a very, very slippery slope. This is a very slippery slope. because this year someone's going to get a heter. Oh, my Rav told me I could use Zoom. And next year the Corona is, nobody's going to even remember Corona. People are going to think Corona is a park in Queens. And they're going to say that, oh yeah, I got a heter to use Zoom. I don't have to invite my in-laws this year for Pesach. Shver, Shviger, guess what? This year you're not invited. We're going to Zoom you in. What do you mean? You can't do it? No, we got a heter last year. And you're not going to have to go to Shabbos, Sheva Brachos. You're not going to have to do anything anymore. You could use Zoom. So it's a very slippery slope. The bottom line is, Rav Asher Weiss says, number one, we do not use electricity on Yom Tov. And number two, even if it's on before Yom Tov, he says you can't do it. Next question. So, says Rav Asher Weiss, they were. I'll read to you his lashon. B'dimyoinam chashvu ledames es hamadikas hachashmal lemavre ish mener lener. They didn't know how electricity works. The early poskim didn't really understand how electricity works. They thought there was some kind of fire in there that you're tapping into.
The original shah was by Chaim Moshe, I believe, right?
Yeah. Certainly what the Aruch HaShulchan says is not accepted as normative halacha today. There's a famous shuv in the Achiezer of Rabbi Chaim Oizer about electricity. One of the earliest writings on electricity is Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Orbach, you know. And when his tshuva came out, so they said about him, you know, Ar Chadosh Al Tzion Tayer. Okay, next interesting question is, this was brought to Rav Asher Weiss's attention from Harav HaGoyin, no name, a Rav of Yishuv. This is in Tshuva Membeis, page 7 on your sheets. He says, by the way, if anybody wants all 9 pages, I'm happy to give it to you afterwards. I have the whole booklet. The next question is like this. He's afraid that he's in a Mesorati Yishuv, traditional Yishuv, where the people generally say the Haggadah. Perhaps they're not fully observant, but certainly they are accustomed to saying the Haggadah. But that's when the whole family's together, the grandparents, the parents. But this Rav was afraid, people being on their own, he didn't think that there's any way many people would get through the whole Haggadah, or at least they'll attempt to start the Haggadah, and they'll call it quits right after Halach Ma'anya. In other words, you know, it's like, you know, when people daven by themselves. When you daven in a shul, you could daven the whole davening. When you daven on your own, you see how people daven on the plane. They say, Baruch Sha'amar Ashrei Yishtabach, and the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, who, you know, at the most. But people in the shul, all of a sudden, have bigger attention spans. So the question was asked, can this Rav sort of make, you know, the cliff note edition of the Haggadah? Could he condense the Haggadah for the sake of ensuring that people hit, you know, the highlights of the Haggadah? And a part of the question is, what are the highlights of the Haggadah? Okay. That's a good point. Rabbi Yehuda Hayonoisim Mem Simanim. So in other words, we'll make a ham, that's Halach Ma'anya Manishtana, you know. Oi, that's Avod Ma'yinu V'hisha Amda, and you know, we can... So basically, Rav Asher Weiss said like this. Whenever you're dealing with Jewish liturgy, it's always dangerous to condense it. Because now, what's the difference between, you know, your edition of the Haggadah and the conservative or the reform edition of the Haggadah? You know, we have to be very careful tampering with Jewish liturgy that's from time immemorial. However, a specific kehillah or a specific rav under certain circumstances is authorized to say, okay, for this year, for my people, I know my people, I'm going to make a little bit of a shortened edition. You can't do it across the board, you can't make it widespread, but you could, for your people, at a certain time, you're authorized to make, for instance, you know, there was a big machloikis between Rav Shach and Rav Yashiv when it came to the kinnis about adding the kinnis for the Holocaust. Rav Shach said, "Bashum oifen, you cannot say the kinnis for the Holocaust." Rav Shach held the kinnis were written by Tanoim, by Bali Ruach HaKodesh, and for someone of this century to put in a kinna, it doesn't matter who they are. They're not Bali Ruach HaKodesh. It doesn't matter if they're a Rav, a Rebbe. They don't come close to Rav Lezer HaKalir. They don't come close to Rishonim. And it's disparaging to Rishonim to put in compared to what Rishonim wrote, Reb Elazar HaKalir said Shemois, and he went up to Shemayim when he composed the Kinnas. How dare anybody write about the Holocaust as a Kinnah? You want to talk about it? Talk about it. You can't compose a Kinnah. And Reb Elyashiv did not disagree. But Reb Elyashiv told Reb Shach, we're not going to do it in every shul. This shul will say this Kinnah, maybe that shul will say a different Kinnah. You know, you have of the... by the above of a Rebbe, you have a Reb Schwab, you have this Kinnah. But Reb Elyashiv said, of course, I'm asking, you can't legislate throughout the Jewish people, everyone's going to say this Kinnah about the Holocaust. We're not allowed to do that. You know, when it comes to questions about Misha Berachs for various things, one of the main oppositions to it is that we are not authorized to add tefillahs to the formatted liturgy. Because in a way, it's insulting to the great people who compose these tefillos for somebody of a much, much lesser caliber to chime in and put in their additions. So, by the way, so Reb Elyashiv allowed, but to put as an official kinnah, every shul has to say the Baba Rebbe, every shul has to say Reb Schwab. Reb Shach said you can't do it, and Reb Elyashiv said you can't do it.
I had later, much later, additions to
the Siddur?
To Slichas.
Like what?
When they burned 42 wagons in Paris.
In the year 1240, that was a while ago, by the way.
Yes, but that was much that was, later than
that. That was before my time, you know?
That was before the Kinnas were...
You're right. But that,
that
was in the time of early Rishonim, that was the time of the Maram in Rotenberg. That was written by the Maram in Rotenberg.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about Rishonim. So Rishonim have the capacity to...
Rishonim are closer to Chveist.
So Chveist, you know... Right, in the Kinnah about the Crusades, he says, "Ein lanu lahoisef, we can't add, we could just sort of join up for Tisha B'Av." Okay.
When was Yiscar instituted?
Probably when accountants started doing billing in the shuls. I don't know. Yeah. When shuls needed money, Yiscar started. Okay, so basically Rav Asher Weiss said, but if in your community, under the circumstances, you need to basically write a Cliff Notes edition of the Haggadah, so then it's a mitzvah to do so. Regarding what are the ikkarim of the Seder, so everybody knows, Rav Gamliel Hayomer, Koshloi Omar Shlosh Advarim, that's what the Mishnah Berurah brings down, and Rav Asher Weiss adds, of course, Manishtano and Avodim Ayinu, we're Maschel Begnus, we're Masayim Beshvach, and as well as if a person has times, Hallel as well. Okay, this is a geshmaka shayla. This is a really good shayla. You ready for this? Raise your hand if you were in quarantine. You don't have to admit. Raise your hand if you spend time in quarantine. Okay, it was best time of my life, right? It's the best thing in the world. That ever best. So, now, during quarantine, you weren't allowed to get a haircut. It was mamash asur to get a haircut. You know, you had to follow the government regulations, and you had to follow the halacha. Leich ami baba chadarecha. So let's say a person came out of quarantine on Chol HaMoed. Can you get a haircut on Chol HaMoed? This is a very interesting shaila and a very interesting test. It's mem dalid on your sheet. What does it have to do with Zoom? Nothing. After Yom Tov, you could tell people on Zoom that you got a haircut on Chol HaMoed. If you're allowed to, that's what it has to do with Zoom. Or you could tell the barber to give you a very fast haircut. He should Zoom. So the question is anyone allowed to take a haircut on Chol HaMoed? So the Gemara that says in Shulchan Aruch, in some Tav Kof Lamed Aleph, even if someone was an anus before Yom Tov, and he couldn't... Let's say someone's car broke down before Yom Tov and he couldn't take a haircut. You're not allowed to take a haircut on a Chol HaMoed. Or if somebody was in the hospital before a Chol HaMoed, or someone was sick before Yom Tov and they come out on Yom Tov, they cannot take a haircut. Who could take a haircut? Number one, someone who's in captivity and got out on Yom Tov. Someone who was in jail and got out on Yom Tov, even if he was in a Jewish jail and he could have taken a haircut in the Jewish jail. And number three, someone who was in Cherem, and he got out on Yom Tov. Or someone who took a neder that he's not going to take a haircut and he was matir neder on Yom Tov. Now, or someone who comes from overseas and arrives on Chol HaMoed, or arrives close to Yom Tov, can take a haircut on Chol HaMoed. So now we have to understand, why is someone who is sick and recovers cannot take a haircut? Why is somebody who his car broke down cannot take a haircut, but someone who's let out of jail or someone who is mater neder could take a haircut? What's the difference between the two? And the question is it only someone who comes out of captivity? Only someone who gets out of jail? Only someone who is mater neder? What's the reasoning of these cases? And is it limited to those cases? Ein lecha bay ela chidushay. Now, the makar of this halacha is in the Gemara in Ma'id Katan. The Gemara in Ma'id Katan says, taking a haircut on Chol HaMoed is not a malacha. There's no iser malacha on taking a haircut on Chol HaMoed. The iser to take a haircut on Chol HaMoed is we are afraid that if someone doesn't take a haircut before Yom Tov, he's going to enter Yom Tov like a shlamazel, a shlamiel, and a shlump, and a zhlub, and all those bad things. He's going to come into Yom Tov kishehu menuval. It's a gzeira shaloti kanes l'regel kishehu menuval. So it's not a malacha. It's just to ensure that someone comes into the Yom Tov kempt. So what if somebody is an oinus and he was not able to take a haircut? So it depends what kind of oinus. If he was healed, cannot take a haircut. If he had an oinus, he can take a haircut. But if he got out of jail or out of captivity or he was mater neder, he can take a haircut. What is the difference between them? So one would mistakenly think, because the Gemara says that the reason is, what if somebody lost an Aveda? Let's say somebody on Erev Yom Tov lost something, I don't know. He lost his marbles, let's say. He had a marble collection in his pocket, and he lost his marbles. And the whole day Erev Yom Tov, he's looking for his marbles, and he couldn't take a haircut. So he cannot take a haircut on Yom Tov. On Chol HaMoed. The Gemara says because it's not muchach. The Pashup Shah in the Gemara is the oinus has to be meforsam. It has to be a very obvious oinus. It has to be something that everyone knows about. Otherwise, people will suspect that you just took a haircut and people will be suspicious that you're violating the halacha. So it has to be a well known oinus. So if somebody's let out of jail, then that's a well-known oinus, because you know Yeshiva news is going to come. Somebody's going to put it on the news that this guy got out of jail, and everyone's going to understand and recognize why this person took a haircut. But says Rav Asher Weiss, wait a second. Why can a sick person who got out of the hospital not take a haircut? Isn't that obvious? I mean, people were mevaker chaylahim. Doesn't everybody know he was sick? On the other hand, somebody who is mater neder, he could take a haircut. Who knows that a guy took a neder that he's not going to take a haircut? I mean, you could go to one Talmud Chacham, he could be mater or neder. Why is a haircut something which is muchach and choyli is something which is not muchach? So says Rav Asher Weiss, if you look carefully in the words of the Mishnah Brura, in his Chachma Yisera addresses this question. The Mishnah Brura says it's not that the oinus has to be muchach. It's not that it has to be a widespread, blatant, well-known oinus, because sickness is not less known than a neder. It's that the oinus that you're under has to be something that it's obvious that because of that oinus you won't take a haircut. Meaning somebody who could be sick, but not every guy who's sick can take a haircut. So a guy has a strep throat, so he's not going to take a haircut. A guy has an ear infection, he's not going to take a haircut. Not every guy who's sick doesn't take a haircut. So choyli is not a oinus that it's clear precludes you from taking a haircut. A guy lost something, he's looking for his bicycle. So it doesn't mean he can't take a haircut, he could take a break for 20 minutes and take a haircut. These, yes, they might be things that everybody knows happen to you, but it's not muchach that it's something that stops you from taking a haircut. But if a guy was captured, whether people know he was captured or not, everyone understands being captured is something that does not allow you to take a haircut. Everybody knows being in jail is something that doesn't allow you to take a haircut. Even so, jail is something that it's obvious is a reason why someone would not take a haircut. Losing a lost object is not obvious. And therefore, what would you say? If someone came out of quarantine on Chol HaMoed, can they take a haircut? Absolutely.
Why? That's not obvious.
Nobody knew you were in quarantine. But everybody knows that being in quarantine is a kind of situation that you can't take a haircut because of. It's not that we're worried that people are going to be suspicious of you. It's that if we allow you to take a haircut when the situation wasn't so clear...
What is quarantine considered? Maybe it's like being a captive or being in prison.
Well, then for sure you could take a haircut. But even if it's not considered that...
Why are you in quarantine? Because you were sick or you were trying not to get sick?
For whatever reason.
You're trying not to get sick, you're in prison. So it's good either.
Okay, if you were sick, no, sickness is not... But quarantine is something that it's obvious is a reason that you cannot take a haircut. Sickness does not preclude you.
What about the cover of the second days of Yom
Tov? We're not so concerned about it. That's Tamakasha. Why do we tell you you can't take it? The Ikar Kavod is the onset of Yom Tov, the beginning of the Yom Tov. The Mishnah Berurah says very beautifully that it has to be something that is obvious is a reason why not to take a haircut, because if we allow you to take a haircut when you had a situation, let's say you lost an Aveda, and the whole day you looked for your bicycle, and your mamish didn't have a second. But people, if we're going to allow that, that's not really a situation that precluded you from taking a haircut. You happen to have been busy with that. But people are not going to say, people may say that if we allowed someone who lost an object to take a haircut, well, he could have taken it before, so maybe we should let anybody who had anything happen on Erev Yom Tov take a haircut on Chol HaMoed.
Everyone's busy Erev
Yom Tov. Elamite has to be something that everyone recognizes, obvious, a reason that precludes it. In other words, it's not that the oynes has to be muchach, it has to be that the oynes is the type of situation that it's clear you can't take a haircut because of.
How about if the boy gives it to you? Does it make a difference?
Can't do it. Finally, Rav Asher Weiss, in the end of his Sefer, he has a very profound idea, a very powerful thought. And he says this is a thought that he has often when he says the tefillah of Aleinu L'Shabeach. You know, Rav Gamliel jokingly says many people think Aleinu L'Shabeach is tefillah sadarach. You know, you started in the shul, you say the middle of it out of the shul, you say, but you start the Alkane in the car, you finish it when you get home. It's Tefillah Sadarach. Actually, the Rishis Chachma writes in a Sefer, Toitzo Ischayim, that it's saying Aleinu is equal to saying Krishma. The power of Aleinu is equal to saying Krishma. In fact, there's one little secret in Aleinu, for those of you who are here, I'll tell you. The Arizal says, Al kein nekavel, it's in the davening of Yom Naram, right? Al kein nekavel, Hashem, lirois, mehera, b'seferes, uzecha. Mehera ends in a hey, b'seferes ends in a taf, uzecha ends in a chaf. That's hey, taf, chaf, hasach. These are one of the shemos of Hashem that vanquishes enemies. And somebody who is mechaving to that, he overcomes challenges that day. This is a soifei tevis that appears a number of times throughout the davening. Hey chaf taf, koil haneshama tehalel, azavta darshecha Hashem. This appears many, many times. Toiv shemucha, ulecha na'eh lahaydois. This appears many, many times. But we say in the Aleinu, ki lecha sichra kol berach. One day, God, all of mankind will recognize that to you all knee bows. V'kablu chula meso malchusecha, and all of humanity will accept the yoke of your sovereignty. So we make a declaration, Ribbono shel Olam, one day the day will come, Yakir v'yedu kol yeshvei sevel ki lecha sichra kol berach. One day, all nationalities, North Koreans, Syrians, Iranians, every Americans even, can you imagine such a thing? Even Americans, they'll stop tearing down the history of the country and they'll recognize there's actually a God in the universe. That will happen one day. And the Gemara, and Rav Asher Weiss says, you know, when he says these words, it's almost, there's a degree of incredulity over here. And that is, will this ever happen? There's so many nations of the world. There's so many religions in the world. There's so many ethnicities. There's so many progressive ideals in the world. Will the day come that all of mankind will say, God, we bow to you, and all mankind will recognize and accept the sovereignty of the Ribbono Shel Olam. But, says Rav Asher Weiss, even though we know, Chazal tells us in the Gemara Yevamos, Peronius comes to the world only because of Klal Yisrael, and therefore it is especially incumbent upon every Jew to say, what tshuva do I need to do in order to rectify this matzav that occurred? But more than that, says Rav Asher Weiss, this is a message to the entire world. And the way he sees it is, we know that Titus HaRasha began his assault against Yerushalayim not only with an arrogant declaration against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, against the Beis HaMikdash and Klal Yisrael, but against HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And he took his sword and he unleashed it in the Paroiches, and blood began to spurt forth. And Titus took the Paroiches and he carried off all the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. He carried off the various vessels, and he goes on the boat, and we know it was a very rocky trip, and his ship was threatening to capsize, and he says, oh God, I see you're only powerful over the water. You know, you did this to other kings also. You did it to Sisera, you drowned him. You drowned Paroi. You only have power over the water. And we, of course, we remember the Gemara says a bas kol cried out, and he said, Rasha, ben benoy shel Esav HaRasha. You think I only have power over the water? Come on to the dry land, and we'll fight on the dry land. I have this little, tiny creature. It's called a yitush, it's called a gnat. And I could defeat you with this tiny little creature. And that's what God did. Titus came out of off the ship, and the little gnat flew up his nose and started pecking at his brain. And actually, if you read Josephus, even though Titus, in the beginning of his life, was a very cruel and barbaric, according to Roman history, at the end of his life, he became very kind-hearted and soft. And Rav Avigdor Meller writes, of course he did. When you have a bird pecking in your brain, it changes your personality a little bit. But the Ribbono Shel Olam shows the Balei Gaiva that he doesn't need big arsenal to take them down. Well, says Rav Asher Weiss, it's the same thing with modern man. Modern man thinks he's conquered the universe. He could send the rocket ship, he could land man on the moon, he could land a rocket ship on Mars. In his little, in his hand, he could hold a device, obviously not in a shul, but anywhere else, and he could turn it on, and he could figure out what's happening anywhere in the whole world. Within milliseconds, a person knows everything that's happening everywhere in the world. He could see everything that's happening in the world. He has access. You want food? You just press a button and in 10 minutes they deliver it to your house. Modern man thought he had it all figured out. He thought he has this world figured out. He doesn't need God. Any refuah, he just punches it into his little device. Modern man thought, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm immaculate. Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm invincible. So Ribbono Shel Olam says, really? You're invincible? I have a little tiny creature, man. Uvirus shemai. It's even smaller than a gnat. A gnat is actually trillions of times bigger than this virus. This virus, you could barely see it on a microscope. This virus, even the greatest minds, they cannot predict how it will mutate, where it will go next. Will there be a second wave? Is it getting better? Is it getting worse? How do you treat it? Hydrochloroquine, not hydrochloroquine, zinc, yes zinc, no zinc. Nobody knows. Is it coming back? Do you have immunity? Does immunity last for more than a day? Does it last more than a week? Does it last more than a month? Nobody knows. God says, world, I'm going to shut you down for 3 months. What did Ribbono Shel Olam do? He dropped an atom bomb on the world? Had, you know, Mars collided with planet Earth? No, not even a gnat. A tiny microscopic virus. Hashem says, Adam, Beria Kala Yeshli, I have a tiny little creature, Uvirus Shemai, and with this virus I could shut you all down. Your economy, your shuls, your stores, your businesses, everything that you do, close up shop.
So it's not China's fault.
I didn't say it might be their fault, but they might be the shulchem. Says the Bereshis Rabbah, God did not only do this to Titus HaRasha. Kach darkoi shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu lasoi shlichusoi ayidei dvarim kalim. God routinely carries out his mission through very, very small things. L'chol ha-mizgoyin olav, to all who are arrogant against him. Shalach lehem bar yakala. Says Rav Asher Weiss, we have seen in our time, ki l'cha sichra kol berach. All of mankind has basically got down on their knees and says, Almighty, we're powerless. We still have not come to the madriga of the Kabul Chulam Esal Malchusecha. But if you want to know when will the day come, Ki L'cha Tichra Kol Berech, it doesn't take God much. He doesn't need a lot at his disposal. He could take even the smallest thing and turn over the world with the smallest thing. So we should be Zoyche, that the Ribbono Shel Olam should be Merachim on us, and we should learn all the lessons and all the halachos that we're intended to from this, and Bezos Hashem, next week we'll continue with Parshas Chukas. Thanks everyone for coming. Bracha v'atzlacha. Shkayach.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.